Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, PolyMet continues to be in the news. I don't think they've ever left being in the news, but there's new developments going on.
Yes, the decades-long proposal to open Minnesota's first copper-nickel mine hit a snag this week after the state Supreme Court overturned PolyMet's permit to mine. So state regulators will have to take this up again for further review, which environmental groups claim victory on the decision, saying that they need a contested case hearing on this, especially on the mine's tailings dam. The state Supreme Court said, the DNR erred by issuing the permit without an appropriate fixed term, which is to say the state regulator should have set a date by which the mine and wastewater would be cleaned up and returned to nature. So we haven't started mining yet. We're already looking at the end of the mine, which needs to be part of that process. There's another proposed mine in northern Minnesota, Twin Metals. Just so folks know, these are two separate projects. The PolyMet mine is the one proposed in the St. Louis River Lake Superior watershed, Twin Metals in the Boundary Waters watershed.
All right. Well, what if we don't want to go up north and instead we just want to get away from here? What are our options these days?
There are some more options coming, not till this winter, but more options coming to fly directly out of Duluth International Airport and down to the Southwest or to Florida. So Sun Country Airlines this week, the Twin Cities-based budget airline, said it would start seasonal nonstop flights from Duluth to Phoenix and to Fort Myers, Florida. Those flights would run twice weekly. They start at about $79 per person one way, which sounds pretty good, honestly, looking at it myself. And it's part of a major expansion for the airline, which added another 16 routes, including some in Rochester and Green Bay.
All right. And if you don't want to get away, but you want a drink or a whole bunch of drinks and you want a whole jug to put them in, how's that going?
Well, in Minnesota, we've got some tricky brewery laws that have left a handful of breweries unable to sell growlers of their product on premise. Castle Danger Brewery in Two Harbors is one of those. And a bill that would fix this so-called growler cap, which is to say it would allow larger breweries to sell growlers, failed to gain significant traction in the closing weeks of Minnesota's legislative session. It sounds like it's just not going to happen this year. So breweries that produce more than 20,000 barrels of beer a year will probably remain prohibited from selling growlers on premise. That includes Castle Danger, but also Surly, Fulton, and a few others that are well-known around the state.
All right. Well, Danny, on the Wisconsin side and back to heavy industry, what's the latest on the Husky plant?
Yeah, so, 3 years ago, the explosion rocked the refinery here in Superior, injuring 3 dozen people and causing a temporary evacuation of the city. And now we still don't have a final report from the U.S. Chemical Safety Board into the blast. Although preliminary findings have been released, the board hasn't issued its final report, and that's because they are seeing a shortage of investigators and unfilled board positions that are contributing to a backlog. And so, Husky right now is in the middle of a $750 million rebuild, and it's basically Superior's Mayor Jim Payne said that the best opportunity for any safety improvements is during the reconstruction or redesign of that refinery. And if this report comes out with any new recommendations about a change in their operations, then it's going to be much harder to do that once the refinery is rebuilt. But, Husky, which was recently bought by Cenovus Energy, they're saying that they're committed to safety when the refinery restarts operations in 2023, but it's concerning to some residents who live near the refinery, although supporters of the project have highlighted, this brings 200 or roughly 200 permanent jobs to the region and millions in revenues via payroll and taxes. And so, people are really kind of concerned over the lack of this final report and what that might mean for the community.
Right. I know this may not be a direct comparison of competitors or not, but with Husky sort of on hold there, Enbridge might have a leg up or not?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, Robin, because with the Line 5 reroute project in northern Wisconsin, there's quite a bit of opposition to that. Again, you know, Enbridge is looking to reroute a roughly 40-mile stretch of its Line 5 oil pipeline in Ashland and Iron counties, and that all came about after the Bad River Tribe filed a lawsuit against the company seeking to shut down and remove the line from their tribal lands. And so during spring hearings that are held each year by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, they asked voters, you know, whether they would support this organization if they opposed that project. And around half of voters who weighed in said that they do oppose construction of this Line 5 reroute. It was kind of close. You know, there was a lot of people who decided not to weigh in. Around 34.5% said they wouldn't oppose the project. 16.5% had no opinion. So it's something that's generating a lot of debate. And right now, they're still going through the permitting process with the DNR here in Wisconsin. They haven't released the draft environmental impact statement yet on that work. And you know, Enbridge is coming under more scrutiny right now in Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin as the Biden administration has taken over, and they're being pushed by pipeline opponents to shut down these projects, just like with the Keystone XL pipeline. So we'll see what happens related to these projects as they move forward.
Right. And as you point out, it affects several different states. On the Minnesota and Wisconsin border, health officials are expressing concerns about COVID-19 protocols.
Yeah. 21 local and tribal health departments this week signed on to a letter urging people to continue being vigilant and wearing masks and social distancing because they're concerned of the rising caseload in nearby Minnesota. And so a lot of these counties that signed on, including Douglas County and Burnett County and St. Croix County, they're all border counties with Minnesota. And officials are just concerned that they might see the COVID-19 variants spread throughout the community. And the more that the disease spreads, the more it could potentially mutate and the more it could be harmful to others. And so they're urging people to get vaccinated. Kathy Ronke said, you know, less than half of Douglas County, where she's the health officer, less than half of county residents have been vaccinated so far. And about a third of residents have been fully vaccinated. So she's really trying to urge people that, you know, maybe if you think that this virus isn't something that harms you, think about other people and how it could circulate in the community and potentially cause more harm. And so they're just really pushing that people need to keep up their guard. You know, even though we've got the vaccine out there, you still need to be wearing masks until the CDC eases those guidelines, which we saw earlier this week. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention eased up on guidelines for masking for people who are vaccinated. So things are getting better, but they're just saying continue to be vigilant.
All right. Well, team, I have one for you. Along with our features this week on Matt Dressel and Kimberly Mitchell, here's yet another local boy makes good story, can we call it? Thomas Nyes of Duluth and Duluth East High School class of 1979 is said to be President Biden's likely choice as the next ambassador to Israel. He spent years in banking, and he was a deputy secretary of state under Hillary Clinton in the Obama administration. But here's yet another local connection. Dan Shapiro was ambassador to Israel during that same period, and he happens to be, wait for this, guys, married to Julie Fisher, also of Duluth.
Ah.
Yeah, with her parents' longtime congregants at Duluth Temple Israel. So, again, local people making good all over the world here.
Very cool.
All right. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week, play ball. The Northwoods League is starting up, and we'll bring you a special of the minor league teams, including our own Duluth Huskies. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with, in honor of the cameo co-star of Matt Dressel's Blue Iguana, Iggy Pop with Lust for Life. Stay safe, everyone. Here I come.